We're in Pirek Yud Gimel, Mishnayis Beis in Gimel. Beis, who Evan Sheb is Zavis, cornerstone. Several of the Mephoshim point out it's not necessarily a cornerstone, but it's, the cornerstone is given as an example of a stone that's so large that when you have two adjoining houses, half of the width of the cornerstone will be in one house and half in the other house. So the same thing would apply to any large stone in the, that's built along the wall, that was half in one house, half in the other house. Even ship is obvious bisman shu choletz. If that stone has a nega on one side of it, in one of the houses, so choletz is kulo. The entire stone has to be removed. And the Rav explains kid darshinin v'choltzu. That in the case where the nega appears in an adjacent wall, both neighbors have to take part in the chalitza, in the removal of that stone. And we had that in the Mishnah when we discussed oyla rasha v'yola shchino, that woe to the rasha, the person who has the tzaras, because he spoke lashon hara, and woe to his neighbor also, who has to take part in the process. Now the Mishnah continues. So bisman shu choletz, if one of these large stones whose width incorporates both neighbors' walls, so when it's removed, the whole stone has to be removed. Choletz is kulo. Ubisman shu notates, however, when it reaches a point, let's say after there was the chalitz and there was tikhun, and the stone was removed, there was the replacement, and then there was a toch tikhun, there was a mortar put on, and then the nega returned, so at that point the house has to be destroyed. So ubisman shu notates is shalom. Then you can divide with tools. You can divide that stone and just destroy that stone in the person's house that had the nega, and not leave intact the other half of the stone that belonged to his neighbor. So umnicha shel chaver, when he leaves the half of the stone, now it's cut in half, belonging to his neighbor. So we find that there is a stringency, there's a strictness in the removal of a stone more than in the breaking of the destruction of the house. Because in the removal of the stone, the entire stone is removed, even though half belongs to the other neighbor. However, in the process of destroying the house, you only destroy that part of the wall that belongs to the to the person whose house has a tzaras, but not the neighbor's house. Rebbe Lozer says, "Bayis habonoi rosh upsoin," a house that's built with, again, its cornerstone or any large stone that its entire width incorporates both walls, and then on top of the pisoyin is language of pitin, pas, psosim, some say crumbs, small stones, half the width of the large stone. So in the individual stones, the stones in one side all belong to that one neighbor, and the stones in the other side all belong to the other neighbor. So it's built with a rosh and a pisoyin. Near a barosh, he says, if the leprosy is seen in a thick stone, the one that whose width encompasses both houses, no tiliskulo, then all, in terms of chalitza, all the stones, even the small stones, have to be removed also. Near and pisoyin, if they're seen in the small stones, no tilishalo. He takes only in the small stones, since they're already pre-divided up and demarcated, which are in his house and which are in the other fellow's house. No tiller shalom, he takes that which is, which he takes those stones which are his, umeniach shel chavero, but he leaves his neighbor's small stones. Now the Rav doesn't tell us how we paskin over here. He doesn't mention that. With the halachas like the Tanakama, well, probably, or like Rabbi Lozer. the and I haven't seen the Mefarshim here Paskin either. However, the Hichas al Gevirta, I mentioned recently that the back of each perek there is a summary of the halachas. So the Hichas al Gevirta does Paskin like the Tanakama, that you don't remove if the nega is in the big stone, you don't remove the small stones of the other fellow, and certainly if the goyim are in the small stones. The Rambam, for some reason, in Hilchos Tumas Saras, where he discusses this, he doesn't even mention this. He starts Dalit, Halacha Dalit. Hoya kosel binu levin chavero shnehem cholsim. This is the halach we had in the last perek. Shnehem cholsim. They both dig away around the area. They peel away around the area. Esa offer. Then move the dirt. And ushnehem avim avonim acheros. And they both bring other stones. Avo balabayis levado mevi esa offer. We had this already in the Mishnah in the last perek, that it's only the balabayis who has the nega who has to bring the dirt. Shneimar v'ofer acher yikach v'toch, in the singular. Ein chaveru metapel mo b'ticho. The his neighbor is not involved with him in the process of ticho, of covering over with mortar the new inset stone. Then halacha hey, evin shebizovis, a cornerstone, and it doesn't mention what the other mefarshim mentioned, that who then even if it's not in the corner but it's just thick, it encompasses both houses. Bizman shu choletz, choletz is kula. When it is chalitza, it has to be removed. He removes the entire stone. His manshu notates. However, when he has to destroy the house, notates as shelo, the balabayas of the house that's menuga destroys his own house. Umeniach shel chavero. And the Rambam doesn't get involved with the. In terms of the chalitza, with the type of row, unless he means to say that even shebizovis ben shucholetz, cholitz is that it's dafka the thick stones, and perhaps that's why he's passing like the Tanakama. He doesn't mention anything about the distinction of thick stones and small stones. So it's only the wall that stick that gets removed. So perhaps the Rambam is passing like the Tanakama. Then the Rambam adds an additional line that refers to a Gemara in Chulin. V'yish b'davar sofek im tiyesh yad shel chavero kamo yad le'evin tiyezu shel chavero kamo yad le'evin shalom. There's a question in the Gemara if the other person's part of the stone served as a handle or some function for the bias menuga, whether what would be the din? And the Rambam leaves this as a suffix. V'yesh b'davar sofek im tiyezu shel chavero kmo yad, like a handle le'evin shelo, like a handle to his own stone. What the din is? Now the next Mishnah Beis, bias shenira bo nega. A house that had a nega in it, hoisa aliya al gabov. There was an upper chamber to this house, an aliya on top of the house, and this aliya was supported by kuros, and it was supported by standing beams, by vertical beams. Here and actually it might be both vertical and horizontal, but it was supported by beams. So now the bias downstairs has a nega. The aliyah is a separate compartment. It's not viewed as part of the bias, as a separate area. So, and the aliyah doesn't have the nega. So no sin, Rav says, no sin es hakuros the aliyah, bisomchon bi amudim. I guess that the Rav is learning the Kuros of vertical beams. These vertical beams are now are viewed as Tahar, because they belong to the Aliyah. We give it to the over to the upper section. V'somchan bi'amudim, we support them with columns. We bring in columns to support them. V'eino notetzon im habayis, and they're not destroyed with the house. So it's a horizontal beam, and we have to support it. But so since it's attached to the Aliyah, we go lekul and we view them, those beams too, as part of the Aliyah. No sein esakiros, I'm sorry, esakoros, esakuros. No sein esakuros li Aliyah. Nira bi Aliyah, if the nega appeared in the Aliyah, so again we go lekula, no sein esakuros lebayis. We view the kuros as belonging to the house, and we're not metami the kuros. Lohoiso aliyah al gabov. If there was no upper chamber that's viewed as a separate entity, lohoiso aliyah al gabov, avonov vietsa viaforo nitotsim imo. If there was no aliyah on top, then the whole structure is demolished. The stones, the wood, and the dirt are destroyed with the rest of the house. Umatzil al hamalbenim ve'alshrigi achalonos. However, in the house where it's totally destroyed, there was no aliyah on top. So the Rav says, malbenim is kamin levenim rubo, square bricks, she'shotkim agagos, which they spread on the roofs. So the Tosfos Yom Tov complains that the Rav doesn't tell us why they spit it on the roofs. He said if they're just lying down the roofs, of course they're not part of the house. So it must serve some functional purpose on the roof. And then the Rav gives another interpretation of the Malbenim, that is sort of a frame, a door frame, v'yesh meforshim k'ein mezuzah. It's a type of frame, and I guess it sticks out from within the house. So ocean bechalonos, here it's not a door frame but a window frame. Bechutz lanoi, it's a decorative frame. It's a decorative frame on the outside of the windows, made just for decoration, not functional. So it's not really part of the house. V'ein mechuborim b'tit bechalon, and nor are they joined with plaster, with mud or cement, with the window area itself. They're just maybe wedged in on the outside, but they're not really plastered in. So matzilim umatzil al hamabenim, we don't view them as being affected by the nega, as being tamei. V'alshrigi hachalonos, and also on the screen that covers over the windows. So the Rav says, "Srigos kamin svoch." It's a sort of like a veil or a screen. Sheosim bechalon, shemistakle mishum l'rishus harabim, which one looks out through the rishus harabim. Now the Tosfos Yom Tov says something very interesting over here. Loshen harash, the Rash in his Perish Mishnayis, kamin svocha. And then the Rash adds a few more words. The osim hasvocha. The screen is made because it doesn't enhance your view of the outside. It sort of blocks it a little bit. The osim hasvocha shlo yiplo mishum hatinokos. That it was a safety device to protect children from falling. We have today, by law, you know, in New York City, you have to have, something to protect the child from falling out of a window. Rachmon Litzlan. So you see, in those days too, they had protective devices for that purpose. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Malbein Habuni Al Gabov. If a Malbein is built on top of the house, and here the malbim has a different usage. The Rav says malbein eitz oruch. Here it's not referring to malbeinim, but square pieces of a brick, but it's a long piece of wood. Shalakir Haosui Lahoshi Valov Rosh Yakuros. Shalo Yirakvu Milakluchi Sachoma. It was a piece of wood into which the beams were inserted, which protected the beams from getting damaged or warped by the moisture that comes through the walls. The walls had some porosity to them. The moisture came through, and you didn't want the beams that add structural integrity to the house, you didn't want them to be, or held up the aliyah, to be, to rot. So that's what this malbim, this Rabbi Yonah Mirav, malbein haboni al gabav, which is built on the house, is nitatzimo. Avona v'eitzaviyaforo. Now, we're getting involved with the shear of tumah. Avona v'eitzaviyaforo mitamim b'gzayis. They're mitami if they go into somebody else's house. They're mitami with an ishur of a gzayis. And the Rav explains mishum de tiras. Excuse me. Iskish lemes. The plague of leprosy, and certainly a tzaruah, is compared to a mace. What do we learn out from with Miriam? The ksiv al not sihika mace. So Aaron says to Moshe Rabbeinu, she shouldn't be like a dead person. Implication being that tzaras is like a mace, and we're extending this not just to a person, but to the materials of a house also. That they have a shear and the mace is metame b'kzayis of basar, a piece of flesh of the size of a kzayis, and olive is metame And Rabbi Lozer Chisma Omer, b'mishahein, even in a small amount. I'm sorry. The Rav has the girsa of b'mashahu. We have the girsa of mishahein, b'mashahu. The halacha is that even though for you need a kazayis of basur, if a person was, let's say, very small and had a very small finger, but the finger is an aver, and it didn't have a kazayis of basur on it, nevertheless, it would be metami like an aver is a mashu. There's no fitshir, it doesn't have to be a kazayis, be less than a kazayis. And the Rav says, "V'ein halacha k'Rebbe Elozer Chisma." The halacha is not like Rebbe Elozer. So that's the again. So the shear of tuma with which a piece of offer eitz or evan from the house is metame another house or metame a person is the shear of a kazayas. We pass in like the Tanakama, this kazayas. That's the end of Mishnah Gimel.